Our scripture today is from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. Here ends the reading.
I don't preach from 2 Timothy that often. Over the years, I have preached from 2 Timothy in the first chapter, because we preachers love 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 5 on Mother's Day. Hear this. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers day and night. Recalling your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you. Those verses make the perfect Mother's Day sermon. As for getting excited about preaching from the rest of 2 Timothy, not so much. We have scripture in 2 Timothy such as, "You must understand this, that in the last days distressing times will come. For people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents." The end times have been around for a long time. "Ungrateful, unholy, slanderers, brutes, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to the outward form of godliness but denying its power. Avoid them, for among them are those who make their way into households and captivate silly women, overwhelmed by their sins and swayed by all kinds of desires." I don't really want to preach about silly women, right? I mean, yeah. Yeah. But over the past several weeks, every time I tried to preach from a different text for today, something would happen that would bring me right back to 2 Timothy. First instance, week before last, I attended the celebration of biblical preaching at Luther Seminary. It was a great week, filled with incredible preaching. One worship service, Phyllis Tickle preached. She is the founding editor of the religion department of Publishers Weekly. At 79 years of age, hear this, Jay, at 79 years of age, she out-preached all of the preachers gathered together. Her sermon came from 2 Timothy, those favorite Mother's Day verses. She began her sermon, though, with Abram and Sarai from the Hebrew Scriptures. She then told the story of our faith, all the way from Abram to our so-called genealogy in the book of Hebrews. She shared our faith and the faith of those who have come before us. Toward the end of her sermon, she said, "You will not find the Timothys in the pews of your churches, but you will find the Loises and the Eunices." At first, I thought, wait a minute, I hope we have people sitting in our pews who will one day be ministers. And then it hit me, she's right. If we have people who will rise up, if we have children, youth, young adults, any age adults that will rise up and be ministers, they more than likely will be called to serve a different congregation. But the people who taught the one day will be ministers and nurtured the one day will be ministers, and who hold the story of our faith, Lois and Eunice and the Bills and the Freds, will always be in our chairs. Remember from whom you learned, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings. All right, so Phyllis Tickle preached a powerful sermon on a text from 2 Timothy. That doesn't mean that I have to preach from 2 Timothy. Then Deb reminded me that this Sunday, today, October 20th, we as a staff had decided that this would be the Sunday that we observe Children's Sabbath. This is the day that we will be reminded of the plight of children in our world. And remember how many times in Scripture we hear that we are to care for the least of these, the most vulnerable in our society, our children. And we hear the words again. Remember from whom you learned, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings. Great. Yes, I can make a connection between the importance of our teaching our children about the love of God and God's love for all of God's creatures and creation as we remember from whom we learned, as we remember those who shaped and formed us for the good, as we remember who taught us or showed us the love of God, we too remember our role in passing on to our children the story of God's love. Remember from whom you learned, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings. But that doesn't mean that I have to preach from 2 Timothy, right? There are some powerful texts in the lectionary today. In Genesis, we have Jacob wrestling with the man all night, and Jacob demands a blessing, and his name is changed to Israel. That's a great story. In Luke, we have the widow, not a silly woman, a widow who goes before the unjust judge and demands justice and gets it. Really good story. I know the text really well because I led an online lectionary group this past Tuesday, which meant that I had to research all of the texts for today. In that group, we started out with every preacher saying that she or he was going to preach the text from Luke. And by the time we got through, many more decided to preach from this text in 2 Timothy. Remember from whom you learned. Well, just because other preachers decided to preach from this text does not mean that I have to. I shied from this text because it is pretty emotional to talk about the people from whom I learned. I carry in my heart daily my Sunday school teachers from Central Christian Church Disciples of Christ in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. I remember with joy and gratitude the adults of the congregation who showed me the love of God, and to this day, remember me as their responsibility because I was a child in that congregation. Remembering from whom you learned can be dangerous for us preachers to preach because we may just cry. But when we come face to face with proof that the congregation which we serve has been faithful and has cared for and taught the children along the way, there is nothing but joy and admiration instead of tears. I had several conversations this week that made me fall even more in love with First Christian, with you, and the Loises and the Eunices and the Bills and Freds who have filled this church for generations. You heard me mention in our prayer for today to remember the family and friends of Tim Higgins. Tim was the grandson of Emma and Percy Higgins, as I said. Emma and Percy were members years and years and years and years ago. They actually served as deacons of the church in the 1950s. They lived in the apartments, as we would say in the South, catty corner, but I understand up here y'all say kitty corner, from the old building, and they were at the church all of the time. Tim's sister Lynn met with me to discuss the funeral service for her brother. As we talked, she shared with me what she remembers about being a child in this congregation. Emma and Percy brought Lynn, Tim, and their brother Terry to church. Grandparents making sure that their grandchildren went to church. Lynn told me that she's had a hard time feeling comfortable in any other church because of her experience and what she learned at First Christian. The adults at First Christian taught her to think for herself, to never take anything at face value, to dig deeper, to always ask a question, and to continue to question. 50 years ago, the members of this congregation cared so much for the children who came into their midst that they made sure that they knew that God loved them, but also nurtured them to be thinking, educated, truth-seeking followers of Jesus Christ. Lynn remembers that her baptismal class, what we would call a pastor's class today, was taken to different churches. I still can't believe this. 50 years ago, taken to different churches and exposed to different religions also before they made their decision to be baptized. The adults of this church exposed the children to other ways of thinking before they made the decision to be baptized. The Loises and Eunices and Bills and Freds of this congregation wanted the children to have all of the knowledge that they could have at that point in their lives before they placed one toe into the baptismal waters. 50 years ago. Remember from whom you learned and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings. One of Lynn's Sunday school teachers that she remembers fondly, she shared the name with me. I didn't have a clue who the person was Irene Highnote, who I learned yesterday is Barb Ruzanak's mother, who is Becky Whitaker's grandmother, who is Aiden and Tristan over here, their great-grandmother. Lynn saw Irene's name in the Portland Avenue Christian Church history book that we have, and wonderful memories came flooding back for Lynn. As she read the book, she saw name after name of people that taught and nurtured and spent time with the children of the church, making sure that they knew of the love of God through Jesus Christ. We've been hearing from different members of the congregation every Sunday this month about their understanding of stewardship, as we heard from Rachel and Andy so beautifully today, and the impact the generations before them have had on their understanding, as well as how they hope to impact the generations after them. It isn't every day that someone who has been away from a congregation makes contact out of the blue and shares that those generations of generosity shaped and formed her into the person that she is today. It isn't the giving of money that our children will remember. It's important, yes, but it's not what our children will remember. What they remember is the time spent showing and teaching them about the love of God. It isn't every day that someone remembers from whom she learned and mentions a name such as Irene Highnote, and we as a church can really see the generations that came after her and the importance they carry in teaching our children about the love of God. It isn't every day that someone like Phyllis Tickle preaches from this text and begins with Abram and Sarai. It isn't every Sunday that we observe Children's Sabbath. It isn't every day that I participate in a lectionary group. Last week was the first time I'd ever participated in it, much less led it. It isn't every day that a voice from the past allows a pastor to take such pride in the congregation she serves and allows her to look at each one of you through a different lens. It isn't every day that I preach from 2 Timothy, but obviously today was the day it was supposed to happen. It was supposed to happen because you need to hear that you hold the story. You are the ones who nurture and teach and care for and encourage our children. Those who will rise up among us and become ministers will follow their call and serve other churches. Senior ministers, we come and go, but the generations of generosity, the generations of caring and telling the story of our faith, fills our chairs every week. What an incredible gift this church has given to the children over the generations. What an opportunity we have to continue for many more generations. How wonderful it will be 50 years from now when one of our children that are in here today say, "You know, it is this congregation that taught me to love God and showed me the love of God." How grateful I am to know the strength of the story of our faith in this congregation. It is always difficult to preach about those from whom I learned. And it's probably difficult to hear some of the names that I've mentioned because it brings back memories for the Ruzanaks, for Steve, for Becky, for Barb, for Rick. We all remember the impact of their kindness and of their gift of showing the presence of God leads very easily to tears, as I told you. One of the resources I used to prepare for the online lectionary group said that this letter to Timothy reminds him that Timothy's identity is in a lineage of lived, demonstrated faithfulness. God's, Paul's, Lois, Eunice's, etc. Faith is a part of who he is. It's as close to him as his genes, and that's G-E-N-E, not J-E-A-N. In other words, it's in his DNA. I thought it would be so much easier to share the impact that you have had on children than to share the impact my home church had on me. Always easier when talking about people that are in your DNA. But when I now remember from whom I learned, I will have to join the children and add First Christian Minneapolis to my DNA list. Remember from whom you learned. So sorry. Generations of generosity, holders of the story of our faith, sitting right here in this room. Oh, what our children will learn from you and what we will learn from them. Right, Deb? Thanks be to God.